This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
You bet. Let's do this. Sports Map Radio Network. It is time for the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker Campbell. As always, before we get underway, we would love to connect with you. You can join us online at Twitter at @eRadioSports. And if you miss any of our interviews over the next 2 hours, we make it so easy. You can go to podcastarena.com. Download our app. Take us anywhere, anytime, 24/7 Sports Map Radio. We got you covered. 2 hours college football semifinals coverage. Also, the Heisman. Let's talk about that. My producer, Sean Mapes, with me in studio. And who will win the 2022 Heisman Trophy? Sean, who you got tonight?
I think the odds on favorite. Actually, I know the odds on favorite is who it is. And I think I agree. It's Caleb Williams from USC. I think really you saw him, just all of his heroics throughout the year has led USC with all these transfers kind of thrown together. And they were one game away from being in the college football playoff after going 4-8 last year. So that really sets him apart, I think. And then also even the game they lost against Utah last week, you see that they went up 17-3, and then he gets hurt, and their team completely falls apart because there's really nothing else.
That says a lot.
Yeah, there's nothing else around, where even a limited Caleb Williams, this is not the same USC team.
Caleb Williams, he's got a little Bob Ross in him. He likes to do a little painting.
Yes.
So, you ever painted your fingernails?
Not on my own accord. I have a bunch of
nieces.
Girl cousins, and we're all growing up together. So maybe they pinned me down one time. But I didn't write the same things that Caleb Williams writes on his nails.
There you go. That's right. It is G-rated. So when we look at the Heisman, what about Stetson Bennett? Do you think he's getting enough credit?
I think he's getting kind of a proper amount of credit for what he's asked to do at Georgia. I mean, just look at what Caleb's asked to do at USC and what Stetson's asked to do at Georgia. I think he's getting a proper amount of credit. I think he'll be probably second or third place on a lot of ballots when we count him up. I don't think he has enough to win, but I guess crazier things have happened.
You know, when we look ahead to the college football playoff semifinals, can Ohio State, can TCU, these are the two teams that are underdogs. Can they pull off the upset?
Yeah, there's normally not that many upsets in the semifinals of the college football playoff. These are two pretty intriguing games. I think Georgia is just on a different level this year than pretty much anyone in the country. So I'm not sure how much Ohio State has, but TCU definitely has a chance against Michigan. We've seen it all year with the Horned Frogs, where even if they're down going into the fourth, they still, Max Duggan cannot be stopped.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back with you, Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, and Week 14, NFL News and Notes. As promised, it's going to continue. Lots of big matchups and storylines that we will take a deep dive into. But right now, we're going to focus our attention on some college football. Of course, tonight, the Heisman winner will be announced. But I think the big news this week that we've got to get into is Deion Sanders, primetime, named the head football coach at the University of Colorado. So he is back for the second week in a row. We usually don't do that, but twice is nice. He is the lead NFL analyst for VSiN, and that is Mr. Mike Pritchard. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. A little under the weather, but I'm going to muscle through. So, listen, you won a national championship in 1990 at Colorado. So, what was your reaction to the news that Deion Sanders is going to lead your Colorado Buffaloes?
Oh, my reaction was through the roof, excitement. was an incredible moment. Yeah, it was an incredible moment. You know, you hear the rumors and you think about the possibility, and then you think about the what ifs. And when the news broke that it was finalized and he was actually going to step foot on campus and tour the facility and accept the job, my excitement just kept growing, and it's still growing. I think in Buff Nation, everybody is very excited about the future, and rightly so. I mean, Coach Prime gives us that opportunity, you know, to be relevant, to compete, to be elite, to dominate. Everything that he said, I mean, he speaks truth and he speaks commitment. So I cannot be more excited than we are right now in Buff Nation.
You know, Mike, and you just think about the impact that Deion had at Jackson State. I mean, 12-0 winning streak. I mean, brought a ton of national attention. So you just have to wonder immediately, what kind of impact will he have?
Well, he already has an amazing impact. I mean, it's been incredible. The ton of attention that the football program at CU has received just because of the prospects of Coach Prime being a head coach. The growth in terms of interest and donations has been astronomical. I mean, it's just incredible, the amount of support and the amount of attention that we are receiving right now. I keep getting phone calls and text messages from administration. They cannot believe the enthusiasm and the level of commitment coming from boosters and supporters now, and fans, and ticket prices are going to go up and all this stuff. I mean, all kinds of things that happens when people feel like you're on the rise again. And certainly Coach Prime, when he addressed his players at CU, talking about I'm coming, I think that has really caught steam. And Buff Nation, it feels like we're coming for everybody else, whether it's the Pac-12 or the entire landscape in college football. We have that opportunity all because of Coach Prime, so cannot be more excited, like I said.
So, Mike, what do you think is the top priority, the first thing that he's got to take care of?
I think he has to create a culture. We've had a different type of culture for, two decades now. Because when I was there and we were winning the national championship, the culture was all about competing for national championships. We have kind of lost our way in that regard. And I think when you have a Coach Prime who wants to be highly successful, like he has already been and continues to be, then the standards go up, the expectations go up. So, I feel like changing the culture, getting that winning culture, thinking big again, presenting our university as being a big deal, increasing the profile. I guess that is what needs to happen immediately. And I think it already has, even though Coach Prime hasn't finished business yet. Once he steps foot on campus full time and at the beginning of next year, I really expect a lot of great things from CU football.
He is the lead NFL analyst with VSiN, Mike Pritchard. Give him a follow on Twitter at MiPritchard. And also former wide receiver with the Falcons, the Broncos, and the Seahawks. Had a terrific 9-year career. And it's interesting because you lined up against Deion Sanders when you guys were teammates with the Atlanta Falcons. So what do you remember about that time playing in the NFL together? And what makes him so special? What is it about this guy that makes him tick?
That's a great question, Elisa, because he's misunderstood a lot because you do see the persona, the profile, and the swagger. Depending on who you are as a person, maybe you take it differently than other people would. I just gravitated towards Deion Sanders. I mean, his swagger and his confidence is what really stood out to me. When I first got there as a rookie, you just watch him work. He never took a play off. Like, I mean, we have rotations. So we would do a certain amount of reps, maybe 6 or 7 reps, live reps as starters. And then the backups would come in and relieve us for a few reps, and then we'd come back in. But Deion would take every single rep. He wanted to be in the best shape. He wanted to be prepared better than everybody else. And so his work ethic, his enthusiasm, his passion, and his ability to take advantage of every opportunity given to him, that to me just stood out back then, and it continues to stand out because now watching him as Coach Prime, I mean, he's just setting the bar higher and higher. He does not know how to fail. He just keeps achieving more and more, and really it's all about his confidence level and certainly his faith as well.
Well, you can hear the optimism and excitement in your voice. So what are your expectations now for Colorado?
The process is the process. I don't know how long the process is going to take.
Okay.
I know we're on the fast track of being relevant and then on the fast track of being credible as well. But we have to see the athletes and their work ethic, and hopefully the coaching staff can create that culture like I mentioned. But once that is in place, I think conference championships and playoffs, college football playoffs. I mean, I don't know how long the process is going to take, though. It could take a month. It could take 3 months. It could take 6 months. It could take a year. Who knows? But once the process is in place and that blueprint is starting to be followed, then yeah, I mean, I think expectations are conference championships and playoff situations.
Well, and he's surrounding himself with winners. What did I read? That his defensive coordinator is going to be Mike Zimmer, right?
Right.
That's a major addition.
It really is. He loves Coach Zimmer. He's loved him for a long time. I think he coached him in Dallas, secondary coach, defense coordinator years ago. And it's just all about relationships. And those relationships, they have to foster great chemistry. And I think that's what he's assembling. Coach Sanders is, Coach Prime is assembling is just the chemistry and people who enjoy working with each other, because that is what is going to be contagious for all the players. They're going to see the coaches enjoying themselves and enjoying working with each other, and therefore the energy is going to be there each and every day for those student athletes.
We are winding down our time. Mike Pritchard's our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network. We are locked and loaded here in Hour 1. He is the lead NFL analyst on VSiN, former wide receiver with the Falcons, the Broncos, and the Seahawks. Talk to me about, just quickly, you won a national championship in 1990. I mean, what was that like, and what was it like to play for the legendary coach, Bill McCarthy?
Well, it was awesome. It was everything that we wanted it to be. My experience at Colorado University was incredible. Even as a recruit, I was on the same recruiting trip like Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy was on my trip with me.
Oh, yeah.
Alfred Williams, Kenavis McGee, all these All-American high school athletes. We were all on the same recruiting trip, and we sat there playing dominoes. And we went around the room and we kept asking each other, who's recruiting you? What's your next trip? And we would go throughout the entire country and name all these great schools. And somebody stood up. I can't remember who it was. You know what? Why don't we all come to this school and win a national championship? And sure enough, a few weeks later, we all committed, and the process was in place for us to kind of follow out and play out that goal. And 4 years later, as seniors, we all won that national championship. So it was the belief system, but it was more importantly, we wanted to make a difference together. And we were able to do that. And that just sticks with you for life.
And Mike, that was in the good old Big 8 days, right? Remember those days?
Yes, it was. We had to go through Oklahoma
Yeah, that's right.
Each and every year.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of winning, my final question for you is, the Heisman, who you got tonight?
I think Caleb is going to win it. Caleb Williams. I mean, what he was able to do, and he's just fantastic. I was able to watch him in the Pac-12 championship game out here in Las Vegas. And before the injury occurred, he was dominating that game. And then I think that was the case all year long. So I think he emerges as the Heisman Trophy winner tonight.
It's going to be fascinating to watch. Check him out.
Yes.
Lead NFL analyst with VSiN. Always a true pleasure when he drops by. And that is Mike Pritchard. Give him a follow on Twitter at MI Pritchard. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1 at Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you. You can join us on Twitter at eRadio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, Podcast Arena if you miss any of our guests over the 2 hours. We're going to continue to get you ready for all the big games. Week 14 in the NFL, hard to believe. But in our next segment, we're going to focus in on some high school football. It's obviously huge here in the state of Texas, and we're going to highlight a program that just won the TAPS 5A Division II state championship for the first time in school history. We are so thrilled to have him back, a 10-year NFL alum. He is the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy right here in Sugar Land, Texas. Always an honor to have with us, and that is Jordan Black. Good afternoon, Jordan.
Good afternoon, Liz. How are you?
I'm doing great. Dragging a little bit, kind of muscling through a cold. So I know that you're going to add some energy to the show. And we just wanted to celebrate you and your team and winning a state championship. How does it feel?
Oh, it feels great. And, you know, I'm thrilled for what we did this year. Had some great players, great families, of course. It's great to make history. So I'm very proud of what these young men accomplished this year. And, you know, it hasn't gotten old yet hearing people congratulate us. So that's a fun thing to experience.
You know, Jordan, it truly is an incredible accomplishment. It was just 4 years ago when you were hired. And I just have to wonder, take us back to the month of August and September. I mean, what was your message to the team? And, you know, what did you encourage them with? What was the message?
Well, the idea is just to get better every year. One of the things that I said to the boys after the state championship was that in 4 years, you have gone from being the worst to the best.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of that. And every year it was just about taking the next step. So we made the playoffs the first 2 years. Last year we were in the semifinals. This year we're in the finals and we actually win it. So the message has just been get better every year. The thing that we had to learn is that talent doesn't necessarily win championships unless you can use the talent. So we had a stretch where, you know, we weren't playing great early on in the year. I think we thought that we could just show up and we were going to be given a win because we're the most talented. But they learned that that wasn't the case. It was necessary this year for us to lose a couple ball games to figure it out. But we eventually figured it out and ended up being a really, really good football team. And, you know, we understood that work is a big part of success. And we put it all together and made a good run and won a state championship.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. You bet. We are celebrating the state championship. He is the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy. Jordan Black, our special guest. He's been on the program many times throughout the years. NFL alum and 42-30. And as I just mentioned, first ever state title against Fort Worth All Saints Episcopal School. So what were your takeaways from the game? Because it was not easy, and you guys had a tough first half.
Yeah, I think the culture at our school, being in that environment in a state championship game, that was foreign to us. So our adjustments at halftime, everything was there that we wanted. We just needed to calm down and execute. So that was the big message. It took us an entire half to kind of overcome our nerves. But when we took the field for the second half, you know, we scored every possession, and we ended up, you know, with a good win. So, you know, I told the kids after the game, it wasn't winning a state championship wasn't the goal. What the goal was for these young men to understand what it takes to win a state championship, and that's the important takeaway because I'm concerned with, you know, what their future looks like. I want them to be willing to fight for whatever it is in life that they want and that nothing's going to come easy. And that's the message that they learned. And we ended up winning a state championship with it.
I was not in Waco. My son was, but I did have an opportunity to dial you guys in and I listened to the broadcast online. And I just have to wonder, you know, I've asked you like, what was your message to the team, you know, in August, September, but I have to wonder what was your message at halftime? Because you guys came out, flipped the script. And quite frankly, you never looked back.
Yeah, it was simple. I said, this is not the best team that we've played. I mean, we went to Steele and played a 6A Division I opponent that at the time was ranked number 8 in the entire state.
Right.
So the message was just putting everything in perspective, reminding those young men of how capable they are to go out and win the game. And they listened, they remembered who they were, and they just went into attack mode that second half.
So what were your expectations coming into the season? Did you believe that with the composition of this roster that you guys could ultimately win a state championship?
I mean, yes, that's the goal. That's what we say. But at the same time, we had three schools that dropped down from Division I to Division II. So we knew
wow.
that it was going to be a battle if we were going to win the state championship. That team from All Saints, we knew it was going to be good. Liberty Christian ended up dropping down to a Division II team, and Midland Christian as well. So we knew it was going to be a daunting task, but, you know, we rallied, and we played the best football that we possibly could, and I think with this group of young men, if we're playing at a high level and we get the most out of everybody, we can beat anybody, and that's exactly what we saw. So did I expect it?
Uh-huh.
I like to say yes, But at the same time, I knew there was going to be some challenges along the way.
You know, speaking of those challenges, why do you think it took so long for the Eagles to figure out their identity and to get on that same page? Because you said, I mean, during the season, you guys went through a little bit of a lull and you had to snap them out of it and get the Eagles to the next level.
I think it's part of the culture change that I've been trying to establish here. The first one is always the most difficult. In hindsight, looking back now, now I think I have a roadmap in my head as to what has to happen in order for you to get there. But you know, the first one is the hardest. I think we've established a different culture here now at the school, and I think future championships are going to be a little bit easier now that we know what it takes to win it all.
What do you think has been the key to your development of your program? I mean, Jordan named the head coach just 4 years ago, and I mean that's some serious acceleration.
Well, you can tell kids what they're capable of, but they've got to realize it. So I told the parents, we played a daunting non-district schedule, and I think some of the parents probably looked at me and thought maybe I was crazy, but I needed these kids to be as tough as they possibly could for right. district play. And I told them that. I said, we may go into district 0-5. Now, we went into district 2-3, but we played some really, really tough opponents. And, you know, these kids just needed to be put in that environment that was going to test them. And, you know, we lost 4 football games this year. And actually, I'm grateful for losing those 4 games because that's exactly what it took for us to realize what kind of a football team we were and what it actually took to win. So when they came to that realization, it just started clicking, and the rest is history.
You know, one of those tough opponents, I'm thinking of Second Baptist. I mean, how difficult was it to get a win from them?
Yeah, for whatever reason, if we play Second Baptist at Second, it's like we're playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Game on, yeah.
And I don't know what it was, but we were in a funk. We were nervous. We were starstruck. I don't know what it was, but they beat us up pretty bad. But after that game, that kind of galvanized the team, and we weren't going to let that happen again. And I think the next time we played Second Baptist, we really played like we were capable of. And I think it was 42-14 when it was all said and done. So, you know, the realization of what you're capable of is very, very, very important.
And it's very, very powerful. He is a winner. He is the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy, 10-year NFL alum Jordan Black with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And just kind of take us back. I mean, how much has high school football changed since you played for Dallas Christian? I mean, and why don't you describe for our listeners, we're across the country. I mean, what's it like to play high school football in the state of Texas?
Well, it's changed a lot since I played. I think high school football and college football has changed for that matter. You've got this transfer portal in college. And now, unfortunately, kids in high school have the ability to do the same thing. So you've got a high transfer rate in high school now. And I think when I played, that was unheard of. So in one sense, you know, it can be beneficial that kids want to come to your program. But at the same time, I think you have some virtue that gets lost along the way. The concept of loyalty and all that seems to have, it's not as strong as it used to be. Now, in terms of the game, athletes are athletes. Physical football is still physical football.
Right.
So whatever it is, Texas just takes a lot of pride in their brand of football. And for whatever reason, you know, people love it. It's fun to play under the lights on Friday night. It's a special thing, and couldn't be happier to do it.
Well, Texas high school football, they continue just to produce top football prospects. And my final question for you is, how many of your guys at Fort Bend Christian Academy are taking their game to the next level?
Well, we have 3 underclassmen right now that are all Power 5 kids. And as I'm talking to you, I've been up at the school today all day meeting with college coaches. We had Baylor was here a few minutes ago. Texas Tech is going to show up any minute. We had OU, Texas here this week. Kansas came by earlier today. So, I mean, we're getting flooded by college programs right now. But we've got 3 guys that are going to be very, very highly recruited that'll have multiple Power 5 offers, and it's always good to have them in your program.
What an incredible season. The head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy, NFL alum Jordan Black, has been our very special guest here in Hour 1. We look forward to 2023. You've set the bar high, Jordan.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1. Jim Gallagher, five-time PGA Tour player, is coming up next after the tour. Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. As always, many different ways to connect with us online and with our social media platforms. You can join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And as a reminder, you can always download our mobile app, and the Sports Map Radio Network will keep you up to date with the latest, and you can enjoy listening online. The countdown is on to the seventh edition of The Match, featuring 15-time major champion Tiger Woods alongside his business partner and good friend Rory McIlroy, as they will square off with the All-American duo of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas in the charity golf exhibition at the Pelican Golf Club. And who better to weigh in on this and provide some perspective than five-time PGA Tour winner and always one of our favorites when he drops by, and that is the Golf Channel's very own Mr. Jim Gallagher. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? Doing great here in Mississippi. Beautiful day, and looking forward to spending a little time with you.
Yes, it's the perfect weather for all of us golfers out there. So, I mean, it's been 80 degrees here in Houston, Jim. It's crazy.
Oh, I know. Same in Mississippi. I mean, it's deer season, but when you're out with a t-shirt and pair of blue jeans, you're going like, what is going on? It's December. But if you're a golfer, it's a great time to be out there. We've had a bunch of rain, but I know even though it's a sort of the off-season for PGA Tour and the LPGA, there's still some golf to be played, and a pretty exciting times ahead, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, we are looking to forward to some golf tonight, the seventh edition of The Match, and I think personally, I mean, it's intriguing because I think this is perhaps going to be the best one of them all. What say you? Do you like these kind of exhibitions?
Yeah, they're good. I think this one probably is. I mean, it did have pretty good attention, of course, when they started. You know, COVID was going on, nothing was really on, and it, you know, everybody got to go out and watch, but I think this will be intriguing. Anytime Tiger Woods tease it up, the needle. He is the needle in golf, and hopefully he's feeling up to playing 100%. I mean, I think the toughest thing for him with all the injuries and just the time going by is the way he's used to preparing. It's easy to practice at home and hit balls and do things like that, but it's when you have to do it for a long period of time. I think in The Match it'll be a lot easier because it's not four long days and practice rounds and all that other stuff, so I think that'll be helpful for him. But you know, it's just fun to see him. And, of course, Rory, what a season he had. And
yes.
You know, great to see. You know, it was tough on Rory, I think, with all the live golf talk and all that. And he kind of took the PGA Tour on his shoulders and to win the FedEx Cup and then on the European Tour as well. So, I mean, just phenomenal. Because when he's on, he's as much fun to watch play. And Spieth playing good golf and JT. So, I mean, I think it's just going to be fun to see those guys. There'll be some... a little bit of trash talking, I'm sure, going on, but that's what makes it all the fun part there.
Well, and the good news is Tiger gets to use a golf cart, and so I've got these two, Tiger and Rory, favored to win. I mean, you've got the best player in the game, world number one, Rory McIlroy, and Tiger. I mean, that's a formidable matchup.
It is. It is. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I think, you know, I wouldn't call it the old guard because it's hard to call Rory McIlroy old by any means, but he's been around so long. But I think it'll be intriguing to see how they go get after it and play. And I think for them it's fun. But you can count on this. Tiger Woods is trying to beat these guys as much as anybody.
Yeah.
He is as competitive a person as there is. We've seen him transform into, you know, watching his son Charlie play, and then he caddied for him in the Nota Begay Jr.
Yes.
You know, a month ago, and I actually was supposed to do that, and I got the flu and couldn't go, but it's just great to see him taking part in that, and I think it's just, I think he's in a different stage in his life, but anytime we get to see him play, you know, it's a blessing, because we just never knew after the car wreck if we'd ever get to see him play and compete at this level, so I don't think we're going to get to see him play a lot, but this matches like this and chances like this, an opportunity to see him shine, because you can, all these guys are as competitive as there is, different personalities, but it'll be fun to watch them play and see who's actually been practicing a little bit in this offseason.
Yeah, you are listening to The Voice, Golf Channel's very own analyst. That is Jim Gallagher. He's a five-time PGA Tour winner. And also, we want to plug, check out his podcast, Only One Shot Golf Podcast, Jim Gallagher. So what are your expectations? We were talking about Tiger and Rory, but what about Jordan and Justin?
I think they're going to be tough. I think everybody talks about it. I know people get tired of hearing how great of friends they are, but I think when you're as competitive as they are, and they're both playing pretty solid golf as well. And I think it's been fun to watch Jordan Spieth get back. A few years ago, everybody was wondering, you know, what's going on.
Yes.
He's kind of in that slump, and it tells a lot about him. I think for Jordan and guys like that that were so good as juniors, they never struggled. I don't think it came easy. They were just that good, and they worked hard. But when they go into that struggle, and for him to fight his way back out and being as competitive as he is and winning and being one of those top players again, it's so good for the game when Jordan Spieth's up there. And I know there's so many fans out there, but, you know, now he's a dad, and just everything in his life is going in the right direction, and I think just his game is playing well. So he's tough. He's a competitor as well. He's not going to hold back. You know, he's a nice kid and everything. But then you got JT, and he's as competitive and chirpy as there is. So I think that's a good duo. And like I said, I think there'll be some jabs taken every once in a while. But, don't worry. Tiger can dish it back, and Rory can as well. So I think that's going to be the fun part. You know, the hard part, I would think, and I've done it a few times, when you're mic'd up and playing, you can't be totally as natural as you were or would be if you weren't, because you're aware that it's on there. But I think still the jabs are going to be there. And sometimes you got to be aware that you're not trying too hard to take a shot at somebody. I think that's the tricky part and the natural part. But these guys have been, you know, mic'd up and playing in front of people forever. So I think that they'll handle it. But I think that's the only tricky part, that you don't get that truth if you were just watching from the side and they didn't have mics on.
The match is back 6 o'clock Eastern time on TNT. What can you tell us about the Pelican Golf Club? Have you played it, Jim?
I have not. I don't know much about it, and I wish I did. So I don't know much about it. But, you know, in match play, I don't know that a particular golf course plays a favorite to whoever, because it's a little bit different format and everything. But I think I'm sure it'll be a fun one to look at and to watch on. But I think it gets down to just the match itself. The golf course is there. I mean, unless you're playing like a Seminole or Augusta, and these courses we all see and we know for history of such great courses. But I think any course there, but I think it gets down to just that match and who can, you know, get their way around. I think that's going to be the more intriguing part, is just to watch these four players get after it. And, you know, I think Tiger will be okay. Like you said, it's just against them, and he's going to bring it. I think for that, that's what I love, to watch him. And I think that's what you'll see, is these are four elite players. And you're going to see what separates that elite player from the rest. It's that inner drive to be great and to beat you and beat whoever you're playing, no matter what's at stake, whether it's a dollar or whether it's the match or whether it's the Masters or whatever. These guys are competitive by nature, and it's fun to watch them play.
Hey, these guys are, and they will not retreat, and they will not back down. So that what makes them so special. Hey, let's talk about, you know, the PGA Tour. You know this well. It prides itself on giving back and helping out the community. So that's one thing that you have to love and appreciate about an exhibition event like this, because it's going to be helping out with hurricane relief. And I was just, you know, wondering, I mean, do you have a preference as far as, do you like to see all golfers in the mix, or would you like to see a mix with celebrities from other sports?
Every once in a while, it's okay with the other sports, but I do like these four guys are fantastic.
Yes.
This is really good. I mean, it's fun every once in a while when you had Peyton playing, or you had Brady, or you have these guys, to have that in there. But that's a lot of pressure on those guys. And that's one thing, even when you see the AT&T Pebble Beach, we see these other athletes as these incredible athletes. You put a golf club in their hand, well, they're no longer incredible athletes that we're used to watching. We expect them to be like the pros. And they may not be. So I think there's a lot of pressure on those guys to perform. It's fun to watch them to a point. But I think when you can get these guys, or these four particular guys, getting after it, I think that's good. I don't mind the mix every once in a while. But I wouldn't want to see it every single week or every single year they have it. I kind of like the way they kind of mixed it up.
So what are you saying, Jim? You don't want to watch Charles Barkley play?
Well, I love Charles, and I love that his passion for the game.
Yeah.
I love to listen to him talk, too. Well, that's part of the entertainment part with Charles. Now, he
sure
separates himself with his golf game, but he works hard at it, and I know we pick on his golf swing and everything. But, that, I mean, that's the beauty of these athletes. They're so competitive.
Yeah.
And I applaud them for putting it out there, because that's nerve-wracking. They're not used to playing in front of millions of people, or the people that are, you know, and all that stuff. In a sport that's not their specialty. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, they're used to shooting a basketball or throwing a football or doing those things. That comes natural. just as it does these four guys playing in the match. And I think that's what I applaud those guys to have the guts to do that, because that's not easy. And of course, Charles, who everybody loves to pick on, and he brings a lot of it upon himself, but he's a good sport about it.
You know, Jim, you've mentioned several times just a little bit of the trash talking that's going to go on. We've seen that in years past. It always adds a little spice, a little flavor to this fun-filled event. And so, you know what? Let's pivot. And I want to ask you, as a PGA Tour player, five-time winner, like, give us a playing lesson on how do you maintain your focus on the golf course and when there's distractions out there, especially if you got someone that, running their mouth. Or what advice can you provide? What advice did you provide to your daughter who plays at LSU?
Yeah, I think that's a great question to ask. I asked on my podcast that every college player or player, how do you block out the noise? And I think you have to stay in the process, and the process is the shot. Everybody has a particular routine, and it's theirs. And I think you just can only focus on the shot at hand, and you can only control what you can control. And I think that's the best advice I have. You can't control, Rory can't control what Tiger does or JT does or Spieth. He can only control what he has. But if you're really good at chirping, you can get in these guys' heads. Tiger's as good as anybody, and so is JT. Spieth will quietly, and Rory, they will quietly do that, I think. But the other two might be a little more jab-jab. And I think when you're the one jabbing and you find that you have got that person, you just keep on going. I think that's the competitive side. But I think for people just listening, I think that's the best advice. It's all about the process. It's the shot at hand. You can't do anything about the shot in the past. You can't do anything about the shot in the future. But if you're just playing in your local tournament at your club for the club championship, focus on that shot at hand. Stay in the process, whatever that is. Don't get, result-oriented. Oral Hershiser was a great pitcher. I asked him, I was struggling, and I said, what do you do? He says, you can't worry about the outcome. You can only take care of what's in front of you and execute that shot or that pitch or whatever you're trying to execute.
So what are some ways that you can practice that unshakable focus so you can have like a black belt mentality when you're out there? How do you simulate that so that you're ready?
I think it's just getting out into the arena. I think the more times you're in it, the more times you fail, I think is important. I think you've got to fail, and nobody wants to, but you have to fail to learn. And then you have to take that situation and say, all right, what did I learn from that? How did I feel when that particular time was my mind speeding up? I think that's the thing that most golfers of any level, when things get nervous, your mind speeds up. I'm not saying slow down playing. I'm just somehow slow down your mind. Focus on that shot at hand and try to do that. I think that's the trick you have to do. And sometimes when you don't have it, you get a lot of yourself and say, hey, I got it. I can do this. And I think those, the top PGA and LPGA players, they all have that confidence in themselves. And it's when you get into a slump, you don't lose your talents. You may lose the confidence in those talents. And that's one thing I would tell anybody of any level. Just keep working at it. But you have to get in. You have to experience that failure. You have to experience someone talking to you to try to block it. But I think, like I said, if you focus on the shot at hand, and that's a learned skill. I mean, you get kids when you're talking to them. I know my five-year-old grandson, he's got that skill down where he's not listening to him. He's not paying attention to him.
Right.
He's focused on whatever he's doing. So it starts at that age. So you got to start them young. But I think that for some people, they concentrate better than others. And you have to be true to your personality. I think that's a big key.
Hey, the match is back, and our coverage will continue with Jim Gallagher, five-time PGA Tour winner, after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin the Golf Channel's analyst, Jim Gallagher. Jim, you have had a Hall of Fame career, and I just have to wonder, like, what an incredible moment you had as a Ryder Cup rookie, that duel against Seve Ballesteros. What happened, and how did you keep your mind quiet in that situation?
That's a great question, because I wasn't expecting to play him for that morning. I'm not getting into, it's a long story on how it worked out. So I didn't have time to really be nervous. I didn't find out I was playing him because of a switch and an injury switch. And I felt like I took that underdog role. I kind of took a chip under my shoulder. And I think what I did is I went out there with the mentality is nobody expects me to win except me, my wife, my family, and at some point, hopefully, Seve. And that's when you know you have them in a match or whatever, is when your opponent realizes, hey, I could lose. I think you see that in any sport when you see the number one team playing a team they're not supposed to have any trouble beating, and that team stays close and closer and longer it becomes and stays in the game or in wherever you're playing. that's when that can happen. And it's when you put the doubt in that favorite, that, hey, I could lose this. And that's when they lose their focus. So I think more for me, I went out with the mentality that I was going to beat him. I knew I was playing well, and I had nothing to lose. And I think that's what helped me. And I think it's always a lot tougher being the favorite and winning and playing at your best than it is to be the one chasing or trying to knock off that top player.
Five-time PGA Tour winner Jim Gallagher, you can check him out on the Golf Channel. And certainly 2022, Jim, was a magical year for you. You were inducted into the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame. I mean, how in the world are you going to top that? So
I don't think I can. Okay. It was a dream year. And like I said, I've been blessed with just a great, healthy family and just the time that, you know, I don't think any of us really start playing games or anything, or at least me professionally, ever even dreamed about being in Hall of Fame. We did it because we loved it. And I think that's the thing I would tell any young, you know, boy or girl or man or woman, whoever, you know, and you play multiple sports, play the one you love. That's the one you're going to get the most satisfaction at, not necessarily the one you're best at, but enjoy the process, enjoy the moment. And I think that's what I look back on it. And it's, you know, quite an honor, as you said, to go in with so many great athletes that have been in this state, to think that my name's up there, just a small part of that. So it just was really special. And then to have my family there made it all, you know, all those times I was away from home and it was just a great weekend.
Yes, and I need to mention, Sissy, your wife has been on our show before, and she's a 12-time Mississippi State Amateur Champion, and she was inducted in 2019 into the Mississippi Hall of Fame. She was an inductee. Listen, we are up against the clock. Our very special guest has been five-time PGA Tour winner Jim Gallagher. Check him out on the Golf Channel. Listen, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll reconvene in 2023.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on today.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break.